What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the sad boy himself, Barrett Courtney.
Tim, I'm ready to get gravy. Let's get gravy, Tim.
We're getting gravy, of course. That is the General Grievous catchphrase that never really took off, but we're hoping we're going to get a little bit. Maybe we'll get some of his backstory here in this show or. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes. That's Barrett. We are the Star Wars people here at Kinda Funny because everyone else has just given up. You know, Star Wars came out with A New Hope. They don't have any hope. They've all given up. Kevin and Nick and Andy, they're just like, you know what? I'm Star Wars down.
And you know what rebellions are built on, Tim?
They're built on hope. And we're about to learn that and more here. Of course, this is the Kinda Funny screencast where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. We're about to break down this trailer. We're going to watch it, give our thoughts, and then do a frame-by-frame breakdown of all the cool things we can find in it. Of course, you can get this on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free and watch it live as we record it, you got to go to patreon.com/kindafunny, just like our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady and Molecule. They're not going to have to hear the ads later for Chime and MeUndies. We'll get to those later. I want to get right into it, Barrett. Star Wars Andor. Let's go. It's real pretty.
God. Yeah, if anything, Rogue One was just shot so well. It seems like this is continuing that.
That's a pretty cool shot.
That's rad.
To steal from the Empire?
Different sound for Star Wars.
You just walk in like you belong. They're so proud of themselves.
Oh, yeah. So give me that good stuff. Satisfied.
Give me the Senate.
They can't imagine that someone like me would ever get inside their house.
Cassian Andor. The Empire is choking us so slowly. We're starting not to notice. What I'm asking is this.
That reminds me of Fallen Order a lot.
Yeah.
To something real.
Eric Selvig from Marvel.
I need all the heroes I can get.
For the greater good.
Call it what you will.
Let's call it.
Oh, shit! War. I didn't know he was in this.
There's fermenting out there, son. Pockets of fermenting. You're in my net. Are you a fish? Or are you a thief?
Weird question.
You're slipping.
I'm not slipping. I've just been hiding for too long.
Oh, shit!
As long as everyone thinks I'm an irritation, there's a good chance they'll miss what I'm really doing.
What are you really doing?
Harry Potter's
this
aunt.
This is what revolution looks like.
Junior?
Yeah.
I'm tired of losing.
Whoa! Is this about to be really good?
Tim, that looked dope as hell. And I, hot out of the oven impressions here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when the first teaser came out a few months ago, earlier this year, and I was like, all right, cool. Like, the premise for this the show was always kind of what I wanted Rogue One to be, more of like a actual like TV format where you're slowly getting more the character stuff. You're actually sitting with them for a while. And then, like, all of this of, like, all these different perspectives that we're going to get from the Empire, from the early stages of the Rebellion, from, like, the people who are sneaking into the Empire as spies and all of this stuff, building a team and have it kind of being this, like, more slower pace, getting to know these characters to build up what seems to be later in this trailer, like, a heist and stuff like that. Like, the first trailer, I was like, all right, cool. This seems, like, kind of more of, like, what I wanted from that movie. And this is just, that dialed up to like an 11 or 12. The way this is shot, the cool them flying around, like kind of dogfighting in space, just like, and the music as well. Holy crap, Tim.
I'm very surprised right now. This is way, way, way cooler than I thought it was going to be. When they first announced the whole slate of the Star Wars Disney Plus shows, this was easily the one that I was least interested in for a multitude of reasons. But I think that seeing this, I am so interested in Disney kind of being in a potential new era of its Disney Plus shows, where, you know, we had the initial kind of releases that due to COVID and other issues didn't get to go as planned. And we had a lot of those 6-episode runs. Star Wars with Mando was a little bit longer. Those are 8 episodes, if I remember correctly, right? But this, we knew from the get-go that it was going to be a longer show, that we're going to get the 12-episode season for it. And then they kind of pushed it back a little bit and then announced that a season 2 was coming. So it's like, we know that this is going to really kind of breathe. And seeing this trailer, that makes me very happy. I think that they have a story to tell, characters that they're trying to build up. And I read this morning that the stagecraft wasn't used for it at all. So the volume and all that stuff is not used for any of the shots. And like almost immediately, even with what we're seeing here, I'm like, whoa, like that, this feels, it feels a lot more real, which again, doesn't necessarily mean better, but I do think for the vibe they're trying to build with the show, because not everything looks great. Like even like this shot here with the Star Destroyer, almost immediately like, all right, this is still a TV show. That's okay though, as long as the story is great and that what they're doing is cool. And I like that this seems like a Star Wars story that we are going to be interested in as adults, where it's kind of like the intrigue and kind of like really setting up the political landscape of like the beginning of the rebellion, but also the beginning of the empire, right? Like, and we've seen that in a couple different ways now, especially on the animated side of things, as we just watched Bad Batch a year ago. That kind of got into that stuff. But inherently with the animated projects, there is going to be more of a childish tone, right? But with this, we're not getting what's her name, Omega, right? We're not getting those type of characters. Like, this looks like it's a real gritty take, and gritty in the right ways, not in the like, you know, grim dark ways.
And I've talked about my thoughts on Rogue One the movie before, right? I'm not as high on it as a lot of other Star Wars fans out there. But one thing I always give Rogue One credit for is like how well shot it is, and just like the kind of cinematography and stuff. And yeah, like definitely like the CG itself in some shots doesn't look like the best. But the way that they're using the camera work and stuff in just this trailer, like, I think still invokes all of the stuff that they were setting up in Rogue One. The soundtrack in this is like what you were saying when we were like first watching it, is just like super non-Star Wars-y, but in a very, very like well done way, where they've tried that before, like even with like Boba Fett a little Solo. Bit, and Solo and stuff like that. And there's something about, at least in this trailer, it works. And just like like I was talking about earlier, just like all the different settings that we're getting that they're going to be able to pull off, especially like not using the volume where everything's going to look almost too like, I don't know. There's a level of like almost
video
like
gamey.
It's a little video gamey and stuff like that. Like you actually feel like you're in these locales, and because of that, they're just able to pull off like just completely different vibes here. I know we'll do a frame by frame, but just going back to like just like the more cleaner areas here and like how real it feels compared to some other Star Wars shows, and then like the alternative of like getting into the, like, the really gritty areas and stuff like that. Like, it's just everywhere, like every locale that they show in this trailer, I'm just like, yes, I want to be here. And yeah, like we see this like what seems to be another like ship junker planet breaking down like old Republic ships and stuff like that. Like, that's really cool.
Which we've seen a little bit. We'll do the breakdown in a second, but we've seen similar things in Mandalorian even, yes. Right? But then just the way that ship fell, it reminded me of some of the scenes and locations from Jedi Fallen Order. And I mean, obviously with Forrest Whitaker's character as well, whose name?
Saw
Gerrera. Like that's going to tie all those things together. It's not all those things, not Mando, but Jedi Fallen Order as well. I'm stoked, man. Barrett, like I am so happy that this trailer looks this good. Like, this is very damn cool. I'm bummed in one way and very stoked in another about the release date change. It's interesting they pushed this back. Three episodes, that's gonna be a lot at once for a drop. Yeah. I don't really know why they're doing that.
Do we know what the general show length is gonna be for every episode?
The idea for this one is that it's a big dog. Like, everyone that's been talking about is as if it's more of a 40-minute, like, more traditional series. And that's what I was saying earlier, that I think Disney Plus is about to get into a new era where they don't treat all their live-action stuff like long movies. They treat them more like traditional shows a bit more. They, you know, just announced Daredevil Born Again being an 18-episode series. And I think that this is probably going to be more indicative. Having said that, this still did start production in the first wave of Disney Plus projects. But I'm hopeful for this. I'm excited for it more than I ever have been.
I think it's definitely take away the show quality aside of, like, you know, we love Mando. We're questionable about Boba Fett and the animated shows, so on and so forth. I think that it's definitely in this new era of, like, Disney Plus, like, this is the best Star Wars trailer we've gotten, I think, 100%.
And that's cool that it's a thing that, like, we aren't that tied to. I mean, there's definitely familiar characters and stuff, but it's not, you know, this brand new character that we've been, like, raised to love now with Mando and Grogu and stuff. But it's also not iconic characters like Boba Fett or Ahsoka or something like that. So that's interesting. But going back to the release date thing real quick, I just want to say that it's as a Disney Plus aficionado and somebody that cares about this stuff, like, it's interesting to me they're doing the 3-episode drop to begin it, but I think it makes sense because of how long this season is. And I don't think that that'll take them to the end of the year. And I don't think that they want to be releasing the finale and stuff around Christmas. They've done it before, but I don't think that that's the goal for them.
Right.
So I think that makes sense. But it's also interesting that they are trying to get out of She-Hulk's way. This tells me that they looked at what happened with Ms. Marvel and Kenobi, and Ms. Marvel being the least performing show of the Marvel side of things. It's like, I'm hoping they fucking get the clue and stop releasing them overlapping,
on the same day. Yeah, that was
like same a moment. Was a big like hit. It is. So I'm hoping that this is kind of a step away from that, because this gets out of She-Hulk's way. If I'm doing my math right, for everything except the finale. So that is a much better call.
Question I have before we do the frame by frame, all that stuff, breaking down everything that we're seeing in this trailer, was the over under on this being another escort mission where Andor finds a little tiny child and has to escort them somewhere throughout the 12 episodes. Because the other thing is that this also might be, like, in a similar way, very different from the other shows, where it's not that kind of tired formula in a way.
Yeah, no, dude, that's such a good point. I think you're right. I think that this is going to break that formula, which is going to make it feel fresh and make this hopefully feel more like what I hope that this might be one of those shows that can get people like Nick back into at least a corner of Star Wars, but hey, we'll see. We're about to get to a breakdown frame by frame of everything that we can find in this. I just want to talk about. But before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors.
No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 days more to save, pay bills, and generally feel good about your money situation. But Chime is more than just about getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on the payer. Have you heard about the legendary underwear brand that's taken the podcast world by storm? Famous for their buttery soft undies and bralettes, MeUndies loves podcasts just as much as you do. It's like they're made for you, and you're made for them. You're made for each other. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know I love my MeUndies because they're the most comfortable underwear I've ever had, and because they have great patterns. As the king of Halloween, my candy corn pair never fails to make me smile. Everyone knows MeUndies for their super soft undies and comfy bralettes, but Did you know they also make other stuff? We're talking about durable, cushy socks that will make your feet sing. They even make hoodies for your dog so you can match every important person in your life. Available in sizes XS to 4XL and tons of colors and prints, MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Any first-time purchasers can get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
When you're ready, let's do the frame by frame. Okay, a lot of cool stuff here, man.
Yeah. Again, you're talking about them not using the volume. Like, you really feel it. And I imagine, like, for other shows where they use the volume for environmental shots like this, they probably did go somewhere real and, like, not use that, like, one for one. But you feel it immediately right off, like, this opening shot here. I imagine.
I mean, they shot practically for a long time. Like, yeah. I know that this one, like, Andor has been a show that has been in production longer than most of these shows. Some of these shows even combined for their mm-hmm. production timelines. And so I think we're starting to see, like, that show, but also that it is more on a traditional TV show timeline for production, at least. So right. It's interesting.
It doesn't feel rushed, and they're actually, like, putting some care into it. Oh, God, why am I out of full screen? Maybe this is not as young of the Andors that we see throughout this trailer, but maybe this might be, like, a teenager Andor kind of, like, hanging out in his home planet, possibly. We see a small village. And I think he's mentioned, you know, like, where he's come from and, like, kind of growing up and stuff like that. So, and as we see these people who are just kind of living their lives, seeing the Empire kind of come in, roll through, and probably kind of take over the planet and whatever. You know, this is a time of the Empire, right, that we've seen in books and comics and stuff like that. Like, they're slowly taking over kind of, like, all the Outer Rim planets and just finding of, like, hey, what is the best resource for this planet? Let's, you know, have everybody work on that one resource. And then once we've, you know, tapped out of that resource, let's find, like, what resource would be best fitted to kind of, like, gentrify the wildlife here so we can grow that resource and stuff like that. They've gotten into that in, like, a bunch of like, the Ahsoka book, I think, talks about that. Like, there's literally, like, one person whose job it is to be like, all right, well, they can't grow this resource here anymore. Well, let's we need more of this resource, so we'll bring that to this planet. It might destroy their, like, natural wildlife and stuff, but hey, so, like, this is a story that we've seen time and time again happen to other planets.
And what's cool there is, like, this being live action and having this kind of vibe to it is so refreshing, because I think that we've seen those bits in things like Rebels a little bit, and even Bad Batch, of the idea of the Empire kind of coming and starting, what it actually means for them to be occupying a space and taking it over. And to Rebels' credit, even I've only watched two seasons so far, and I'm not even done with season two yet, but
you gotta finish season two.
I know, dude, life just keeps getting in the way. Barrett, would you fucking believe that I just flew to Nashville, Tennessee, and I downloaded so many episodes of Rebels onto my iPad, and then the moment I went to load it up, for some reason, it was like, oh, yeah, download's not complete, so you can't watch them. And I'm like,
that's so weird.
Ah!
I've never ran into that problem with Disney Plus. That sucks.
It's so, yeah, I know.
I appreciate you trying, though.
I'm going to make it through. Before Ahsoka, I will have finished Rebels. But with Andor here, I think that we're going to get a different side and a different way to see how intense those situations can be. And especially, I'm interested, you know, we've joked forever about the politics of episode one and all that and how ridiculous it is. But I do think that this type of take on the Senate and how that all fits with what the Empire is doing could be really cool.
Oh, yeah. And then you see it kind of here on the ground level from, like, someone who's from the planet, seeing the Empire kind of slowly industrialize their planet for resources and coming in here into a little shaft. And then, yes, this shot right here. Aw, Tim. If there's anything that, like, you know, we can talk shit about the prequels until the end of time, but I always loved the Senate shots where you get to into the Senate, you get those wide shots of just, like, every planet being represented and kind of talking their shit. And I hope, you know, one Anthony Carboni loves the great Ian McDiarmid. Do we get Ian McDiarmid kind of talking shit to everybody here and like kind of going back and forth with the rest of the Senate? Like I imagine, right? And I just noticed this, the little Empire logo here at the base of the Senate floor here, which is awesome, which is definitely something that they did after, you know, Yoda and the Emperor fought and like the room got messed up and they're like, all right, well, we gotta like fix this room up and we might as well put the Empire logo here. And that is so cool.
Yo, that is fucking cool as hell. That is awesome. Cause yeah, the timeline for this is interesting where obviously between episodes 3 and episodes 4, there's that 10-year gap, right?
Right.
So Rogue One leads right into episode 4. Mm-hmm. So this show with the two seasons, they've announced that this is going to deal with 1 year of it. That's 5 years after episode 3. And then season 2 is going to
be closer to Rogue One.
It's going to be the 4 years from there into Rogue One.
Oh, interesting. Oh, God, that's going to be a lot of time jumping. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, yeah, I think this season's going to be more the foundation of where we're going from that. But even then, yeah, so, like, this is 5 years. If I'm doing my math right, this is 5 years after episode 3. That is them rebuilding the Senate, like you were talking about.
And so we're also getting into close to whenever Obi-Wan took place, right?
Yes.
Close to Jedi Survivor and that taking place. Or no,
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order, I think, was 5 years after episode 3. And so maybe some timeline converging stuff. Like, oh, we also, you know, what's his name? Ice Cube's son. Slight spoilers for Obi-Wan. I always forget his name, but
forget his name. Yeah.
Yeah. O'Shea Jackson Jr. I know he's a junior.
Oh, I thought you meant his Star Wars name.
No. And so, you know, we know him from Obi-Wan and like kind of his small but significant character arc is like kind of becoming a leader for these people. Like, do we see him pop up again with like the maybe. Slow kind of like rebuilding? Maybe he's like part of the team that is that Skarsgård who's in this? Is that one of the Skarsgårds?
Yeah, that's one of the Skarsgårds.
Papa Skarsgård.
The Skarsgård from
Marvel.
From Marvel. But real quick, going back to something you just said about him popping up in the show, O'Shea Jackson popping up in the show. I doubt it, surely production-wise. Because again, Kenobi happened so much later. I don't even think that character existed in their minds but when this was happening, unless there was reshoots.
Or, Tim, they had this character in mind originally for this show, and then once they got into the production of Obi-Wan, they're like, hey, this kind of
tie it together.
Oh, like, let's insert this character here to set him up for the show that we've already kind of gotten into production and stuff. So there's, I would agree with you, probably a small chance, but there is a chance.
No, but you're right. And, you know, us doing our reactions to all of the Kenobi episodes, like, they built the path, the idea of the path. And that really is kind of a simultaneous, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's the exact same thing as the building of the rebellion. So
right.
I would not be surprised if we get references to the path and, like, start really building out that mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
And then I don't know if we've seen this man here before, but you know, we got some
in real life? I mean, as an actor?
Well, in Star Wars.
We've definitely seen this motherfucker in Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, this is Filch from Harry Potter, I believe, right?
Yes,
and so yeah, we got all of these guys here.
Go back to that shot. I think we saw this shot in the last trailer cuz I remember it sticking out there too. It's funny getting these like smug Empire guys. We've kind of got little hints of it where they're not all
the smug and drinking their space coffee,
but like smug and like they're not all the stuffy British like type, right? Like we're getting like the side of the Empire that also is just dudes. You know what I mean? They're just some dudes drinking some fucking coffee, man.
Yeah. And they're just kind of like kind of coasting by just, you know, succeeding or failing upwards, as the people call it. And then I assume this is a young Andor there.
Which is interesting, playing off of the kind of now Star Wars tradition of let's give everyone a little kid to have to carry around. Maybe here it's not that. He is the kid. You know, right. We kind of get more him being the kid. So it's kind of like if Kenobi wasn't Kenobi with Leia, it was just Leia, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense. And then we see him sneaking into the academy here as we knew him to be, right? Like he talks about in Rogue One, like how he was a spy and betrayed people and all this stuff. And so I love, and again, that's what I wanted from more from Rogue One, was to actually see that and not tell me that. And so I'm excited to see his journey here. And it's interesting that they call out, like, specifically from the creators of Rogue One. And is that just because they're also the Star Wars creators, or is it because there's actual people, like, from the Rogue One production that are working on this? Because, like, Gary Whitta isn't, like, working on this, correct?
No. As far as we know, he's not. Yeah. I imagine that this is more top level from Star Wars, like from the same. It's that, but they just wanted to let people know, like, hey, rewatch Rogue One on Disney Plus.
Yeah. That makes sense. And then we get Skarsgård here building a team, hitting up Andor, who looks a little disheveled, probably sick of dealing with the Empire shit.
Real quick, can you go back to Skarsgård for a sec?
Yeah.
One thing that I do appreciate about this trailer is the variation in colors and outfits and kind of like different, because as we get later into the original trilogy, and then, I mean, even the prequel trilogy as well, it was kind of a time period of Star Wars where if you were a Jedi, you're wearing brown robes. If you are a Sith, right, you're wearing black robes. If you are Imperial, you're a stormtrooper looking guy, or you're in the buttoned up, gray little outfit, right? But here it's like we get the rebellion was always a little bit more ragtag, kind of like it was more of a palette of colors. But I like that here they're not quite there yet, so we're seeing different kind of colored themed outfits, right, for the different groups that are eventually going to either group together as good guys or get pulled into the Empire.
And yeah, it makes sense, because we've also seen that story before of, like, you know, the rebellion was backed by, you know, people who are in the Senate secretly trying to help the rebellion out and all of this stuff. And so I wonder if Skarsgård is going to be someone similar to that, someone who is probably a little more well-established in the days of the Republic, and, like, has, like, you know, kind of comes from – has enough in his life that he can use to, like, kind of propel the rebellion. So that to me, that makes sense of, like, when it comes to, like, costuming and colors and stuff like that, not feeling as ragtag. But yeah, we see Andor with looking a little disheveled there. And then interesting here, Tim, these are clone trooper outfits, I believe, not stormtrooper outfits. Yeah,
the helmet looks more stormtroopery, but really? It does look kind of like.
It might be a weird in between. It's the shape to it, or maybe it's just like a weird thing from the side. But the shape feels a little longer in the head than the stormtrooper ones.
Well, remember in the last trailer we did definitively see clone troopers.
That is true. Which will be interesting to see, like, how are they like surviving clone troopers, or is it more of like flashback stuff, like before they transitioned out of clone troopers? I'm excited to see how that all plays out. Not familiar with this actress here, but we got another officer here leading the cool, I forget what these stormtroopers are called, but they have the coolest fucking design.
Oh yeah, for sure. I could be wrong. I think I am wrong, but I'm just throwing it out there. Let me know in the comments that I am wrong. She kind of looks like the woman that was in Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams, or the Justin Lin Star Trek Beyond, that joined the crew, but I might be wrong about that.
Maybe. We've got some a different planet probably here where the Empire's taking advantage of the local people fighting back. And then, yeah, what seems to be a ship junker planet. Someone in our live chat over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, which you can watch us do this live, was wondering if this is the same planet that Cal Kestis was on. There's a possibility. It doesn't give me the same exact vibe of that planet, but... and I imagine, like, that wasn't the only ship junker planet during the early stages of the Empire, but there's a possibility.
I know you disagree with me about this, Barrett, but we are going to get Cal Kestis in live action. I just don't know when it's going to be. Having said that, I don't think it's going to be in Andor, but...
I think they want to keep him to the video games, but I digress. This is a conversation for another time. And then, yeah, Andor's on this junk planet. maybe already being sent out on this mission. Maybe that's the planet where Skarsgård finds him, and he's like, hey, like, you've been I know that you've ran away and you don't want to live this life anymore, but I need you. You're great. You're the perfect man for this job that I have set up here. I love this ship that he has too. It looks really cool. I love the design.
Yeah, it does. Here. And later when we see it in action, it's fucking rad.
I know it's not one-to-one, but it reminds me of I forget his name, but the character you play as in Star Wars. What's the one where you play as Han Solo's friend?
Shattered Empire. Not Shattered Empire.
Yeah,
Shadows of the Empire.
Shadows of the Empire. It's got similar vibes to that ship, which I like.
Yeah.
And then him aggressively putting on his cloak there. I love this shot too. Like, Tim, you remember, like, when you're flying over the Midwest and you kind of, like, look down out of the plane, and you get, like, kind of these, like, when you're really overhead and you've got, like, those squares of definitely, like, oh, that's a block, that's, like, one farm there, and, like, that's another farm there. That's something, like, we rarely see in Star Wars, but, like, makes a lot of sense of just, like, different, like, agricultures and, like, them, dedicating different lands to different crops and stuff like that. And then, yeah, so I love that you were surprised, Tim, of seeing Mr. Saw Gerrera, because once his buddy, his second in command, I was like, oh, Saw's coming back, which makes sense. Of course.
I it's not so much that I'm surprised as much as I just didn't know he was in it. Like, I don't think they've confirmed Forrest Whitaker being in the show yet, but maybe I'm wrong. But can we just for a second talk about how fucking dope that X-Wing is?
That black and white X-Wing? Are you fucking serious,
me, dude? Yo, that is awesome. That is fucking rad as hell. Good for you guys.
Give me more X-Wing color palettes here. And then we see Saw's crew, Skarsgård's approaching, knowing that, you know, they're kind of more extreme rebellion fighters, which is cool to see. This is, I don't know where in the timeline Saw kind of split from the rest of the rebellion, if this is if he has even joined the rest of the rebellion yet, if they've even formed. That'll be interesting to see. Also, it's one of those things where Saw was originally introduced in Star Wars The Clone Wars as a young lad, where Anakin and Ahsoka kind of, they can't, like, I think it's like a war crime for them to get involved into Saw's planet, so they, like, kind of secretly, like, train him to fight against the separatists and stuff like that. So they're the ones who kind of trained him to be a very extreme person in, like, the rebellion, which I think is interesting. Anytime he's popped up outside of that, I haven't been super interested in him as a character, but with this show being more of what I wanted from Rogue One, maybe we'll get to kind of sit and breathe a little bit more with Saw, which excites me a bit for sure.
He's gonna sit and breathe. You know what I mean?
Bugali. And then we got some of these guys who aren't cool enough to be stormtroopers, but are kind of wearing the armor. Doing some classic riot gear here, going up against the local population.
Their helmet designs kind of give me the vibes of some of the Hoth battle helmets as well.
I was gonna say Return of the Jedi, because you see them in Return of the Jedi. I think I could be wrong there. Like the guys who are trooping the AT-ATs. Those are gray though, I think. So
good
call. Ship's probably having troops loaded in here. I'm interested to see what this dude's all about. This is probably the academy and them getting trained into the academy for the Empire, and this is probably like someone that Andor has to, like, you know, they're kind of like rivals at first, but then, like, through the academy and the hardships, they kind of become friends, and then Andor has to make the tough decision to, like, you know, betray that or like even try to convince him to join the rebellion, and then he's probably going to be like, nah, Empire forever, baby, and then Andor's going to have to, like, kill this dude or something, you know.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about, though, about the costuming, right? Like, the coloring, the very distinct looks for the different groups before everything gets homogenized. I really like that.
I don't know who this man is. I appreciate, like, I think he is the most 70s-looking actor that we've seen in a Star Wars thing in a long time that really helps, like, solidify, like,
totally, you
know, people from the 70s who looked like this, who were in Star Wars, who were part of the Empire. Like, he's just got this look. So shout out to you, dude, for having that look. Shout out to the casting director for getting this man in here, because there's very good casting here. I don't even know, like, what character he is. But then, yeah, like, seeing them kind of, like, walk out here and see being more, like, local police. I don't know what the vibe is here with them walking out.
But it is the same coloring that we see the seem to be the cadets in as well. So maybe, I don't know. But like, yeah, then we get here. And again, we're earlier talking about like the more ragtag coloring of a lot of the Rebels' clothes. This gives such Rebels vibes, not even just terms of like shapes of the hats and helmets and things, but also the coloring that will eventually go on to become
the orange and yellows and stuff like that.
The Rebellion's kind of main color color scheme. Look at the guy on the right, like he has the yellow lines going down his arm. Like that very much looks like Luke's outfit at the end of A New Hope when he has that bomber jacket.
It definitely, like, they nailed, like, hey, working class, but make it space, you know.
Yes.
And that's something that I didn't put together until now. The shot we saw in the original teaser, dope looking shot, you know. I love the contrast between, you know, seeing the more outer rim planets and then getting back to Coruscant like places, right? Maybe a little bit more of this junker planet that we saw here, someone landing here. Maybe they have heard that Skarsgård is around here trying to recruit people for some rebellion mission. The woman we saw earlier, the officer that we saw, her rank, she seems, I'm going to assume because she's only got three, I don't know what all the pieces mean, Tim, I'm going to be honest, but because she's only got three blue, it seems like there's a lot for her to grow into. And so she's probably like, you know, girl boss, gatekeep, all that good stuff. And where she's just trying to like go up into the ranks of the Empire and is able and is like willing to cross anybody to do it. That's my guess for her character. That's my guess. Yeah, seeing some planning here, probably again like a local like farming situation, trying to make sure that the workers come in line. I love her line here: "Are you a fish or are you a thief?" I don't know what the context is. Out of context, it's the fucking funniest question to have asked.
Yeah, there's always a bigger fish. There's always a bigger thief.
We see the woman from earlier on, Skarsgård, who's looking honestly like pimped out here with his rings and his long hair here.
Yeah,
I imagine this with the longer hair here. I imagine this is Republic days, and this is like his life and like his kind of like whatever he was like loving doing in the Republic days, and kind of seeing kind of his fall from grace because of maybe loss of status from the Republic to the Empire, all that stuff.
His Kurt Russell, Kevin Coelho party days.
Yes, exactly. This actress looks very familiar, and I can't place her. For a second, I was like, oh my God, is Leia in this? Who is this?
Okay.
But it's not her, but
it's not her mom either. Her stepmom, right? Because her stepmom, we just saw her in Kenobi.
Yeah,
she's much older.
She's much older. I'm blanking. Live chat, who's watching us on Patreon, let me know in the chat who this is, because she looks very familiar. She's got a very good 70s space hair here that I appreciate. And so she's also a good friend of Skarsgård, who is also saying hi to Mon Mothma here. Loving that.
Hold on, can you go back to her for a sec?
With her iconic 70s space hair here.
She kind of looks like some of the pictures, but not
all of them.
All of them. No, I don't think it's her.
Okay.
But I don't know.
It looks a little different here.
Hold on. Barrett, I'm going to just send you this.
Okay.
I'll send it to Assets.
Okay. No, that's not her. That's not the same. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a different Leia. Like her, Tim sent me a picture of the mom from Obi-Wan, who's Leia's mom, or stepmom. Definitely chin.
Yeah.
A little older as well. Fiona Shaw says Monkey Man in the chat. Fiona Shaw. Chat, let me know what she's from. We see him kind of like in his cushy life hanging out with Mon Mothma, seeing what she's up to. I love that we're finally gonna get some time to actually also sit with Mon Mothma, as we'll see later in the trailer here, right? She only pops up for like a minute at a time in anything that she's in, so I'm excited to get more of her and her backstory in a more canon modern Disney sense, right?
Because so far we've gotten her in the prequels, we've gotten her obviously in Return of the Jedi, and then in Rebels, right? She was in a bunch of the later episodes scattered through.
Yeah, in little bits and pieces. And Rogue One. She was in Rogue One for a
second. Then Rogue One. Yeah, so yeah, it's always cool seeing her because we know the end. Like, we know that she ends up being a very important part.
Yeah.
Kind of cool shot there, even. Go back to just like, yeah, just in the ship. I like the just seeing the blue sky and the clouds outside of the ship. Not like, something we normally see.
Yeah, like it's something that like when we see like space travel in real life, Tim, like we kind of know, but like definitely something that like we don't see a lot in Star Wars, where you like slowly go from space into the planet's sky, and that that's definitely a good eye there. And then we see
this shot in real time is awesome. Yeah, this turret coming up and like shooting, it's like oh and all look of at this that.
And this cool like Empire satellite ship, whatever the hell is going on here. I like the design of definitely something a little more unique that maybe we've seen in something else, but that really stood out to me.
I've never seen it before, but it's funny because it and I'm sure that this is just like a coincidence, but it does kind of look like a giant Imperial satellite Naboo fighter.
Yeah, it does have that like kind of similar
shape,
which, you know, Palpatine from Naboo.
That's true. I guess it is facing the other way, though.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Palpatine, baby. Naboo born and raised.
I assume this shot is going to be, this is probably Coruscant because we see some space traffic up here. And I don't know if we really see a lot of space traffic or sky traffic, we should call it.
Yeah.
Which I love seeing. And then, you know, Mon Mothma talking to the rest of the Senate here.
Awesome.
Probably being it probably not being full, like we've lost our way, because you can't do that too much, especially with Palpatine around. So it'll be interesting to see like how she's outward facing, and that's what I'm really excited about, is seeing like how she's been dealing with the Senate, because that I feel like that's a side that we rarely get to see. You know, her socializing with the higher class of society in the Empire here, which I love. This shot right here, I love the gold and the white, which again is some, but it's like Star Wars we rarely get to see, but when we see it, you're like, this is quite a vibe here. You get some more dark troopers coming in here looking for Aunt Petunia, who's crying, and I assume talking to her square R2-D2, who is red, and I love this, and I can't wait for it to be sold as a toy, because I will buy it. And so we also, this actress also looks familiar too, that I can't quite place. Maybe she's.
Is this not the same actress?
Is it? From earlier?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man.
Because
she looks like this YouTuber I like, Anna Brisbane, and the other girl also looked like Anna Brisbane. So I'm like, is it the same or I don't know?
Maybe it is. I don't know. The hair's really thrown me off too.
Oh, Barrett, we're getting some type of time jump. Because we're seeing the Kurt Russell hair.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're seeing, I think they are the same character, just different, maybe like a year apart or something.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And then, we see Andor kind of undercover here, probably be chasing down by Empire because Skarsgård led them to him accidentally. Him a little more cleaned up. Again, what I was talking about earlier, kind of like leading it to more heist vibes. The literally like, jumping off of a dam to like sneak into something. Like, this is what I wanted from Rogue One. We barely got any of this, and I'm so fucking stoked for this. This is dope as hell.
Jumping off things with a rope attached to you to run down a vertical surface, never not cool.
I'm expecting Mission Impossible. What's his face?
Hobbs and Shaw.
I'm expecting Tom Cruise to like be like, all right, let's do this. Like, he's going to be the guy who's like setting up the wires. This is also interesting here too. Like, for a second, I thought this was going to be Clone Trooper Academy, but it's not. This might just be the regular Empire Academy now, because we see Andor, I think, in a couple of seconds in this clothing, something. So I don't know if that's like training where they're like, all right, it's 100 of you trainees and only one gets to survive kind of shit. So he's like kind of
a battle royale.
Yeah, a battle royale, but make it Empire.
This got some this real man. Star Wars shit. This is some old school. This feels like, what's his name? Lobot? Vibes of like the android things, but also mixed with little Babu Frick action.
Yeah, and then he's got the forearms, which also reminds me of from Solo, the pilot from Solo, who is voiced by the director of Iron Man, who I'm blanking on.
John Favreau,
who we got to see for a second. But obviously not that same species there. Very interesting. I don't recognize these two, who he's operating on, so that'll be or maybe not even operating, maybe enhancing them in a way. We'll see. Then we've got more local people trying to fight against. Yeah, see, okay, I'm more convinced now even seeing this stormtrooper helmet here.
This is different, though, than the one you were talking about, because the one we were looking at had the black line on the helmet in the back.
Yeah, that's clone trooper. I think this is clone trooper helmets right here.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it obviously is somewhere in the middle, but like the face looks way more stormtroopery to me than clone trooper. But we're talking about subtle differences.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's probably like maybe an in between, like we said earlier. I'm fighting against local stuff here. This shot right here is so Star Trek 2009, and yeah. I fucking love it. And
dude, me too. It's like, look, does this look great? No. Does it look cool as fuck? Yes. I want this, man. I feel like this is cool as shit, and I hope that it lives up to the hype of the seconds we're getting here, because this looks incredibly cool.
Yeah, and again, along with the music, like, everything that was done in this trailer, I'm reiterating from earlier, I think this is probably the best Star Wars Disney Plus trailer we've had so far since the launch of Disney Plus.
Oof, here we go. All right, Star Wars Andor, a little over a month away. Sorry, what was the date again? The official date
September
now?
September 21st, three-episode premiere.
Almost 2 months away then, but we will be reacting to it right here, youtube.com/kindoffunny, screencast feed. Everywhere that you expect to find us. I am hoping to get me, Barrett, Anthony Carboni, and Sage Ryan back together to do that. Will we do weekly reactions? Will we just do the premiere and then check in intermittently? We'll have to wait. We'll have to see. It's really up to you guys on how much you want to support this stuff. I want to support Star Wars really bad. I want to keep this stuff going. But
and honestly, from the looks of this trailer, Tim, they might be earning it. They might be earning it around.
They might be doing it. I'm hopeful. But anyways, till next time, I love you all. Goodbye.